Turn in our Bibles tonight, Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Now, if you're a Bible reader, this is a very familiar passage to you. But we will apply it hopefully tonight by the Lord's grace in such a way that the Lord can use it to edify us today. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, Moses had gone up to receive from the Lord the two tables of testimony that contained the Ten Commandments. Been gone for a long time, almost 6 weeks. Been gone for 40 days. And the people were getting restless. They were getting tired. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. That's Moses' brother, who was the designated high priest. And said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Get back in your place. No, he didn't. He succumbed to the pressure of the people. Exodus chapter 32, verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Which is quite blasphemous when you consider that it was God Almighty that did those 10 plagues, opened the river so they could come through the Red Sea, brought them through safely, closed it in upon Pharaoh and all of his chariots and killed the enemy. And to attribute all that to a calf was just blasphemous. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast, not to the calf, but to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now Moses didn't take the deal. He prayed to the Lord and convinced him not to destroy them that day. Verse 15, Moses turned and went down from the mount. Verse 15, Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written, and the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. Can you imagine if those had survived to this day, what people would be worshiping? And when Joshua had gone up there partway with him, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It's not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Losing your temper can often result in breaking a lot of the commandments all at one time. All right, took the calf, ground it up, threw it in the water, made him drink it. And at the end, look here, verse 25, when so he destroyed it and made them drink it. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And in verse 29, Moses said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And what they did is they attacked their own brothers. Verse 28, the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. That's quite shocking what happened there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to guide us through what we're going to see here tonight, and help us. Rick, pray for us, please.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Amen. What you're reading about here is a bad case of idolatry. And God had already spoken the Ten Commandments to Israel. They already knew what they were. Moses had just gone up there to receive them engraved in stone to bring back with him. They knew that the first commandment said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They also knew that they weren't to make an image of anything that was in heaven or anything on earth or anything on under the earth to bow down thereto to worship it. I mean, so right away when they did this, they had violated those two commandments and they knew it. But you know, men always have a propensity to want to worship something that they can see rather than something that they cannot see. And you talk to people about the gods they worship. A lot of times it's hard for them to have any concept of Jesus Christ. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll have a great concept of Jesus Christ. You read the Bible, you have a great understanding of God, particularly if you believe it. These folks wanted something that they could see. But may I tell you something? The creation and worship of idols did not stop with the Jews out in the wilderness. This is quite a remarkable thing that happened here. Because they wanted gods that they could worship, and Aaron had taken this thing and made it into this calf and fashioned it all like that, and they began to worship that calf. And lots of things they did that day reveal the kinds of gods that men have. And like I said, it didn't stop with what was going on here in the wilderness. Today, they worship idols just like they did back then. Paul in the New Testament tells us in several places that we have to be careful for things like idolatry. He even tells us that things like murder and adultery and stuff like that, people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, and idolatry, which is covetousness. Now they say about the economy in the United States of America that it is a consumer economy. That's the way they put it in the newspaper. I say it is a covetous economy. And that's what's making everything continue to go, because everybody wants what everybody else has, and they want it in great quantity, and many times they're willing to pay any amount of money in order to get it. So today they still worship. And if we look at the things that were used in this particular worship of the calf, we can find some of the things, not all, but some of the things that men worship today. For instance, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 2, he said, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters. And verse 3, all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. You know, there are people that listen to the radio and there are people that listen to the television to try to keep up with the news. It really doesn't make any difference which station you listen to. At some point, they're going to advertise gold. And I'm going to tell you what that reveals to us and what that reveals to us in this particular passage. People worship money. They worship money. And listen, Aaron built an altar and they sacrificed, verse 8, before that altar. They sacrificed before this God. Do you know what people will sacrifice to get money? Have you ever noticed what they'll sacrifice? They'll sacrifice their children. They'll sacrifice their health. They'll sacrifice their reputation and their ethics and their relationship to Jesus Christ just to get more of it. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? May I tell you something? The only amount of money we need is the amount of money we need to take care of the bills we have current. Amen. Now people say, well, you know, I'm accumulating this. Why? Because I want a bigger house. I was talking to a fellow just the other day, and he has a house that's just within a few thousand dollars of being paid for. And he and his wife cannot go visit some of their friends who have better houses, because every time she comes away from there, she's all upset that he hadn't put the money they have into a bigger house. As if that's going to solve anything. You know what that is? That's just the worship of possessions. It's the worship of money. And it drives this economy and it drives people. Now, an idol that's a bad thing is something that will come between you and God. And I'll tell you what, in the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation, money became came between that church and God. God said some things to him and said, we have need of nothing. We don't need you. Why? Because we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And God said, you don't realize you're bankrupt. You're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. May I tell you something? People worship money. People will pray and pray and pray. God, give me money. God, give me money. God, give me money. And it's as if that's an ending prayer. You know what might be a better prayer? God, give me more of thee and more faith to love and believe thee so that I know that my supplier is you and not my pocketbook.
Amen.
Truly, it would make a tremendous amount of difference. Listen, God said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's got a lot more than we do. So don't fall prey to worshiping money. Now, you know something else in here. Look in verses 4 and 5. Aaron received them, that is the golden earrings, at their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool after he'd made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. I'll tell you something else they worship. They worship religion. They worship religion. In other words, once a person gets connected to his religion, it's nearly impossible to pry his fingers loose of that religion when you're trying to introduce him to Jesus Christ. We hear that all the time, of course, when we're out doing the Bible distribution in the fishers of men. You walk up with a Bible like that and said, I'd like to give you a New Testament. They say, I don't need that. I'm a Catholic. Well, we didn't ask you what kind of religion you are. We really weren't concerned with what kind of religion you are. Oh, said, we've got those already. We're in good standing in the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church or wherever you say you want to go. Really, we've met some people, so many people that are saying they go to one church in this town, they'd have 1,000 people going to church on Sunday if everybody who said they were a member of that church went. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen in your life. I didn't come here to talk to you about what church you go to or even what church I'm going to. I came here to talk to you about Jesus Christ and the words of God. But they've got their finger and their hand tied tightly around that religion. Do you know there are a lot of people that will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ today because their family is in a religion and they don't want to condemn their family by trusting Jesus Christ simply by faith and turn their back on the religion from which they came? Why do you think those Pharisees got after Jesus Christ as hard as they did? The Pharisees said to the Lord Jesus Christ, why do your disciples not keep the doctrine of the elders? And you know what? He said, that doctrine that you're keeping is making the word of God of none effect. And they worshiped that religion more than they worshiped Jesus Christ. Do you know, I think Jesus Christ was the most anti-religious person that ever was. He's not here about religion. He's here about salvation. He's here about a covenant between you and God. He's here about reconciliation. Never let your religious pursuit ever get in the way of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Out there, there's a sign that says Bible Believers Baptist Church. Well, there's a reason that we're a Baptist church. And if you know the distinctives of the history of Baptists or others like Waldenses and Albigenses and all that, through all the history, you'll understand why that's there. But would you understand that Bible and believing is before that? We're not here to start a religion. We're here to develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His words. All right? Let me tell you something else they worship. They worship money. They worship religion. I'll tell you something else they worship their belly. Look in here at verse 6. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and bought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink. To eat and to drink. Well, we're going to have this little feast here, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to eat and drink. You know what the Lord says about religious deceivers? He said they don't serve the Lord God, they serve their own belly. And what they're worshiping is they're worshiping their belly. It's an amazing thing. You go through any major city today, like you go through Corpus Christi, it's not the major ones in the United States, but a pretty good sized city, 300,000 people here. You drive down SPID, and what do you see? Restaurants. And the funny thing about it is we're supposed to be in some sort of a recession and the parking lots are full. And the prices are going up. Listen, people don't eat, and neither do these Jews here. They don't eat to nourish their bodies. They eat to satisfy their appetites. And man, there's a huge difference between those two. Have you ever noticed? No. I didn't think so. Listen, these guys, yeah, okay, well, we'll get there in just a minute. Let me finish here. Let me tell you what's going on with these guys. They say later, we want to go back to Egypt because we're missing some of the food back there. The melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. God was giving them manna. They lived on that manna for 40 years. And that, you know, except for the sin they committed that caused all those that were above 20 years old to die, those people went through there. And I tell you what, man, their clothes didn't rot. Their shoes didn't fall off their feet. It was an amazing kind of a food, and it really nourished their bodies. And they said, we loathe this white bread. We want this stuff that satisfies our belly. And you know what Paul said? He said, I keep my body in subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And you know what he was talking about, among other things? He was making sure that his body was not ruled by appetites. And I'll tell you what, they'll get people in a lot of trouble. Listen, if you always do what your lusts and your appetites desire, you're going to have a hard time doing what God wants you to do, because that belly will rule. In here he says, you ask and have not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lusts. Did you ever know that your appetite is insatiable? You say, I don't know what that word means. It means it's never satisfied. You eat something that tastes good, like a big old piece of chocolate cake. Come on now. I mean, double, triple chocolate on the inside with a bunch of chocolate icing on the top and chocolate icing in the middle.
Ice cream.
You get in there and have you one of those kind of things and you eat all that sugar, you know what you're going to wake up in the morning wanting?
More.
And then you're going to go over there where that cake was and you're going to think your wife left it alone when y'all went to sleep last night. You're going to go in and lift the lid on there. Who took my cake? I don't know. He says, it's time to move on. Okay, we'll move. What do they worship? They worship money. They worship religion. They worship their belly. But that's not all. Look here, he says in verse 6, they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They worship recreation. Boy, they really worship that. I'm telling you what, the big industry right now is sports. And you know what? There's some people that are probably could be in a church tonight that aren't in a church tonight because guess what's happening? The World Series. Didn't it start tonight? Praise God, we're going to finish this by 8:30. You can still catch the last five innings. They're crazy. Crazy for their recreation. Listen, when I was a kid and we had some sort of club sports, we always played them on Saturday morning. Always. Now you go down here and you start looking at club sports and guess what day they're picking to play them on? Sunday. They say, you know what? We got to take our... Oh, listen, preacher, we'd stay in there till, you know, 12:15, listen to you preach, and we even wait for the invitation to see if anybody got saved. But we're going to have to cut out a little early because Johnny's got to go to the ball game. What? I understand, you know, that really has infected this country. People like to play. Give us a 4-day work week, we play 3 days. Give us a 3-day work week and play 4 days. Okay, I enjoy a moderate amount of recreation and exercise, but I'm going to tell you what, it has taken over. You look in the families today, do you think they would spend that much time trying to take their kids to church as they do running them from the soccer field to the basketball field to the baseball field to the football field to the volleyball gym to the swimming thing to the karate thing to the martial arts thing to the this? Parents today are not training children. They're a chauffeur service from thing to thing. You notice that? Yeah, amen, okay. They are worshiping recreation. Money, religion, belly, recreation. They love to play. You know what, man? Have you ever noticed this thing with the kids these days? They're all going to have arthritis by the time they're 35, right here. Video games. Well, he wants to be an engineer, so I'm going to let him play on the computer. He wants to be a computer geek, so I'm going to let him play. Really? Really? What's wrong with mowing the grass and cleaning out the garage and picking up his room and helping with the laundry and washing some dishes? Amen. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what, amen. Everybody that doesn't have kids right now, amen. Yeah, you wait till you have your own and you'll be taking that. You'll be having a fight. Listen, you say they don't worship recreation. Try to take that video game away from that kid and see what you get on your hands. Try to take that food away. You tell somebody, hey, your food consumption is getting away in the way of the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Try to take that food away and see what you get. You get bit. You take their money away, their religion away, their food away, their recreation away, and buddy, they are going to be miserable and you're going to be dead. What else do they worship? It's all connected with this. Look down here in verse 18. Joshua in verse 17 heard the shouting. He thought it was war. And Moses, wiser and older, said, it's not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, verse 18. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. You know what else they worship in here? Music. Music. Well, they do, don't they, Bobby? 24/7. They worship music. And I'm telling you what, that is a God that is addicted right down to the heart. Right down to the heart. Listen, somebody gets saved and the preacher gets up there and he says, now you oughtn't be listening to that kind of music anymore. You ought to be listening to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because they edify you and strengthen you and all that. And they get in the car and say, nobody's going to be telling me what. Ain't no way. You're not going to be talking to me about the kind of stuff I'm listening to. This isn't hurting me. You can't even understand what the guy is saying. I went off to a Bible college, and everybody over there is supposed to be like, you know, really into psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right? We went to Bible college, right? Amen. We had a guy in there that used to work on other people's cars. Why? Because he was a mechanic, and this is the way he could supplement his income. He said, you'd be surprised what all these Bible students are listening to. I said, how do you know? He said, they got all their presets on the radio. Bink, 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 bink. Trash. Try to take that stuff away from somebody and see if it's not a God. Now, you ladies have had to go over and you're trying to get some things done. And I appreciate the fact that you had the courage to say, you know what, I'm going to take some time out of my life and get some things straightened up. They got in there and say, oh, by the way, we're going to take that music away from you. You're like, what? They didn't tell me they're going to do that. How am I going to live like that? You say, well, they might be able to take it away from me, but then they can't take it away from my mind. I'm going to hum it at night. Man, I can't wait till I get out of here. I'm going to listen to that stuff when I get out of here. It's a God is the problem. Amen? Amen? It's a God. You watch teenagers, people in their 20s, 30s, doesn't make a difference. You try to give them some straight preaching out of the Bible in competition with the music that's running around in their hearts and minds, and you will never get them to grow. You'll never get them to grow. They'll always be stunted by the influence of that music in their lives. And that's what happened to these people right here. It became a God to them. Say, well, I just don't think it's... We can't take everything away from the kids. Let me tell you something. If they could, they'd take everything away from you. Amen. And not with much regret either. You can't even imagine how that music influences people to follow what it says. That music here influenced them in their worship of a golden calf and turned them straight away from God. You got to be careful with that stuff. What do they worship? Well, there's one other thing we'll look at here. Look in verse 25. When Moses saw that the people were, what? Naked. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Well, if they're dancing and naked and singing, you know what was going on. I like the way the Bible speaks because the Bible puts it all decently. There's nothing defiling about the picture that he painted here, but you know what's going on. So I'll just put it to you in plain terms. They worship sex. They really do. Now, let me say something to you. The relationship of a man and a woman in marriage, the Bible says, is undefiled. The marriage bed undefiled. That is something holy, sacred, and appropriate that God set up. So let me just say to those of you who aren't married yet, you're growing up and all that kind of thing, and somebody says, be careful, be very, very careful with this thing concerning sex. Sometimes we preach it hard and it gives you the idea that we all think it's really bad. What's wrong with it is when it becomes fornication and adultery. When it becomes a mental thing that controls your mind and ruins your body. Yeah, that's when it's not good. But he says when a husband and wife come together, that marriage bed is undefiled. That's a good thing. God knew what he was doing. But you know what's happened? Most of the people that are in churches today are learning what they learned about the marriage relationship from the world in movies and all this other stuff. And then when they get married, they bring defiling influences to the relationship. That's not good. That's not good. There's nothing good about that at all. And now you say, well, do they really worship that? I am telling you, man, that is driving Hollywood. You can't watch movies now without the being innuendo and the presence of that kind of thing in your face all the time. We go to hospitals and things like that. You walk through lobbies, you see televisions. We're waiting there at Shannon's surgery for about 3 or 4 hours today. Television up there. That stuff is on display nonstop. It drives society. And I've got to tell you something. You have got to be very, very careful that you learn what you learn about that from the Bible and respect it the way that God put it in here. If you learn that from the world, you are going to marry simply for the physical pleasure. And when things change in the relationship, you're going to want to get out of that relationship and go find you another one. And God doesn't want that. And it's because you went into it for the wrong things. You went into it for the same reason that the world worships it. And it ruined here. 3,000 people died because of this problem. There are all kinds of evil consequences to it, but I'll tell you something. People will sacrifice their families, their lives, their health, their minds to get more money. They will sacrifice heaven to hang on to their religion. They will sacrifice a better relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to feed their belly. They'll sacrifice church and Bible reading to play. They'll sacrifice the beautiful joy that comes from psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to hang on to rotten music. And they will sacrifice a holy, sanctified marriage in order to worship sex. Help me here. Amen. You know what the Bible said here in verse 26? To bring this all to a close, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? That's a real good question. That's a really good question. Whose side are you on? You over here with the world and all those people set up, make us gods and take us back to Egypt. Is that where you are? There are people in here tonight that are in that category. I can't wait till I'm not a teenager anymore and then I can go off and follow my own gods. I'm in my 20s. I'm just tolerating this. Da, 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 da. There are a lot of other people who say, man, I took my look at that thing over there and I saw what it does to those people that sacrifice to worship all those things. I said, I'm going to take my stand with the Lord God Almighty. I don't care if it makes me rich or poor. I don't care if I get to play and all I have to do is work. I don't care. I didn't come to this world for recreation. I didn't come to this world for these other things we talked about. I didn't come into this world to see how fat I could make my pocketbook. I came in here to give glory to God, and I'm going to stay on God's side. That's a good place for you to be tonight. Don't get sucked into the world's gods. You stay right here with the Lord God. And I tell you something. When Jesus Christ said, hitherto you've asked me nothing, ask that you may, and you shall receive. Watch it, that your joy may be full. I'm going to tell you something. There's a joy on this side with the Lord that doesn't exist on that side. And if you have been over there so long that you don't realize that, separate from those things over here. Get over here with the Lord and find that joy that He has for you. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. But you got to let the gods go before you can have this. Father, we're thankful tonight. For the opportunity to be able to see these things in the words of God, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, burn them into our hearts and minds. Father, our greatest desire is to learn from this scripture everything you want us to know that will drive us closer to you. Lord, when our minds are consumed with these things, our bodies are consumed with these things, our thoughts are consumed with these things, God, it's just as bad as if we'd done it. We pray that your Holy Spirit will wash us clean and get inside of us with the words of God. And renew us, Lord God, that we draw closer to you and further away from the gods of this world. I pray for these that are gathered here tonight, Lord God, that they'll learn the joy of and the pleasure of a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.